powerful is the Cox Network. So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Music. Horror. Art. Politics. Badassery. Welcome to Society 13.
Progzilla, bringing you the best progressive music has to offer.
Well, hello everybody out there in Progland. It's your old pal Big Tony the Prog Squatch coming at you one more time, this time with episode 230. We have something special lined up. Well, I'm going to say first that we have in the co-host chair my friend Terry DeLean.
Hey, what's up, Prog Nation?
So anyway, Terry is very into Marillion. As you may remember from the last time when we featured some Marillion, I forget what episode that was. I usually write these things down.
226, I think.
226. Like that. It was back there. Yeah, somewhere. But anyway, Terry had so much interesting lore about this album, Brave, that we decided we're going to do like a full feature on Brave tonight. Brave was released by Marillion in 1994. It's a Steve Hogarth era album. And I discovered that Classic Rock Magazine selected it as one of the 30 best albums of the 90s in the year 2000. And in 2003, they also named it one of rock's 30 greatest concept albums.
I'll go along with that.
Yeah, and it is a concept album. It was based Very on a news story that Steve Hogarth saw about a girl who was found and taken into police custody. They found her wandering on this Severn Bridge, and I guess that's like a suicide bridge or something?
The Severn Bridge is between Wales and the UK. Severn River Bridge, it's called. And a lot of people have gone there to sort of end their lives. It's notorious. Most notably, I don't want to call him a personal hero of mine, though I love his work, Richie Edwards. He was the rhythm guitarist and lyricist with an act called Manic Street Preachers, which nobody in the US of A is going to know who I'm talking about right now. But
I don't. You got me on that one, T.
And it's not really a prog thing either, unless some of their later works they get a little more artistic.
Well, man does not live by prog alone.
That's true.
I do.
But his car was found on the whale side at a gas station, and there was evidence that somebody had been living in the car for days, and he was never seen again. So, but I think that's a typical story, you know, from the Severn River Bridge.
But yeah, this girl was found wandering the bridge. she didn't seem to know who she was or where she came from. She wouldn't even speak. So Hogarth saw this story and decided to more or less try to imagine what had led to her ending up on that bridge. And they wrote Brave.
And that's a kind of a leap, too, because, you know, on the previous two albums with Steve Hogarth singing, major part of the lyrics written by Mr. John Helmer.
Yes, I noticed that. Yeah.
But John Helmer, though he does work on Brave, most notably composing the epilogue Made Again, he had a minimal writing. I mean, it was H all the way through.
You know, okay, yeah, so this is his first album where he really...
Yeah, had some help from Helmer at times, but, you know, some of the, like, Hard as Love, Helmer co-wrote, but for the most part, it was H.
And his concept also.
Yeah.
But the double LP version of Brave had a double groove thing, huh?
It's a multiple choice ending.
Yeah,
you know,
which is very interesting.
And it stretched over into the tour, too. Because I think a lot of people didn't buy the album. They had it on CD, so they only heard the one ending, which is a happy ending.
Right, yeah. There's two different endings, and on the CD, they kind of present the one. Although in subsequent...
The remaster does have the second one
it
available.
Has both endings, yeah.
At the beginning of side four, when you drop your needle onto the groove, there's two grooves it could potentially hit. And start off with a song called The Great Escape, which will... spin for you a little later. And The Great Escape's in three parts. There's The Great Escape, The Last of You, and Falling from the Moon. So all three parts play, then it goes into Made Again, and the girl walks away alive and with her identity finding her way back again.
Happy ending.
The happy ending.
The happy
ending. Now, if you put the groove down, and just when it would start going into The Last of You, instead, it reprises the intro to Great Escape,
which they've dubbed the Spiral Remake.
Right, with a little extra lyrics, different lyrics. And as H's voice trails off, you just get water sound that continues throughout the entire side of the album and
for
plays
like 20
for about
minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, well, anyway... yeah, I mean, that's the downer ending, I guess.
Right.
You know, you can imply that she took the leap, you know.
Right.
And that was it. But, yeah, what an interesting concept to have two potential different, you know, two different endings, almost like, you know, create your own story kind of thing. Where, you know, or, you know, I guess it could randomly happen when you were playing the album, depending
right.
on how you set the needle down.
Right.
You know, that could, like...
Well, you couldn't control it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know.
Let's just say you were... partaking in some substances
that could
and like maybe
you.
Suddenly you're like, wait a minute, man, you know, I thought I heard this some a different way last time, you know.
So then on tour, audiences were stunned at the different ending of The Great Escape, and the band stopped playing and walked off the stage, and they looked at each other like, oh my god, I know what just happened, you know.
Okay.
They were alternating nights. They were,
yeah.
they're like, I think they played a week at the Paris Olympia Theater. So one night it'd be happy ending, next night, sad ending night. And play the entire concept album every night.
Yeah.
And also it is available now. They've got a live Brave Live 2013 DVD out. It was also made into a film.
Okay. Yeah. I think I did see a reference to that. Have you seen the film?
I've seen most of the film.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to get a hold of an intact copy.
Okay.
It's kind of difficult. I'm just going to bite the bullet and buy it from Racket Records. Yeah, it's Merlion.com, Racket Records. They have just about everything the band's ever done available. I'm sure one of the live things they got going on there has a sad ending of Brave for you to hunt up. It's just too much stuff to wade through to try to find it. So I'm going to leave that to the more intrepid members of Prog Nation to hunt that up.
Okay. So anyway, what are we going to play tonight, Terry? Yeah, I was going to let you...
Living with the Big Lie.
Okay, we're going to start off with that. Now, this is from Brave in 1994 by Marillion.
It all began with the bright light, the bright light and the noise. The chaos of the senses and the scream of desire. Touching and being touched, a million more sense to time. The ticking of the clock and the cradle rock.
Spend
Once again, that was Living with the Big Lie by Marillion from Brave, 1994.
You know, I love that bit where he says, I never got over it. I got used to it.
Yeah.
If you think about it, that's what prog's all about right there. Those universal themes that you never think of until somebody says it. And then you're like, wait, this applies to my life too. Wait, this applies to almost everything I know. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody hits the nail on the head sometimes, just looks at us at something about life and just puts it in such a way that you go, wow, that's so true. You know, and I never thought of it before.
It also kind of starts to set the tone for the album, because it's leading you into the next events in her life with, you know, asking the question, how did I get here? And this is where we start out. You know, I never got over it. I got used to it. One of the interesting things about this album is they pioneered, well, first of all, EMI wanted a really quick album so they could get some quick cash in. And so they hooked Marillion up with Dave Megan to produce, which was not a good idea, because Dave Megan, who had previously produced Fugazi, was going over the tapes all night, every night, and from the day trying to salvage whatever bits we use in the song and just getting obsessive about it. And so it ended up taking 9 months to record, but the end result was worth it. One of the neat things they did was they actually, it was recorded at Merouette in Castle in France, and suitably spooky surroundings. So they got the inspiration to come up with a new way to record atmospherics. This was later done again by Radiohead on their OK Computer album. They recorded cave sounds, hilltop sounds, silence, tried to record places that were known to be haunted, and sort of just applied everything as background atmospherics to the album.
I did not know that.
So across the whole album, you've got these little bits of silence, but just this...
There's ambience.
Ambient, right, to it. And I think that, like, the cave noise at points provides echoes without providing echoes. You know, you got an echo, but the music's not echoing. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
But anyway, what else are we going to play tonight then?
Let's go with the finale. Oh, I call it the finale, even though Made Again comes afterwards, because it's like it's the ultimate chapter. Made Again always seemed more like an epilogue than the actual, you know, the dramatic climax of the album is in The Great Escape.
Yeah. So we're going to do The Great Escape then. I was letting Terry more or less guide the show here since he's so into this album, had so much good stuff. This is The Great Escape from Brave, once again, by Marillion in 1994.
Heading for the great escape, heading for the right, heading for the permanent holiday, heading for the winter trip, heading for the smile, heading for the dignified walk away. Heading for the open road, goodbye to all that. Heading
Once again, that was The Great Escape by Marillion from their fantastic concept album 1994, Brave.
Coming at you from a broom cupboard in deepest, darkest England, you're listening to Progzilla.
Yeah, Brave, 1994. Nobody was putting out concept albums in 1994.
No, not very many.
Marillion was like, hey, let's do something a little different. But I think it was coming for their fans. The Great Escape there, of course, the sad ending version. I'm sorry, happy ending version.
Yes, this was the happy ending. Try not to be too much of a downer on Prog Watch.
Right. Following year, they did an album called Afraid of Sunlight. And I started, I hate to say it, but I missed Brave when it first came out. I don't know, listened to a lot of different stuff and just, you know, you look away for 5 minutes and a band got three more albums out, you know?
Yeah.
And noticed, I started seeing signs around town stapled to post Marillion at graffitis. And so I went to this show and caught up with a friend I haven't seen in forever. And it was their Afraid of Sunlight tour. And that was when I first got to hear some of this stuff live, and it is amazing. And they did a live album from that tour called Made Again.
What year was that then?
95, 96.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, it's Made Again, and we're going to, actually in the U.S., we have some rules regarding playing too many songs from one album, so we're being a little tricky here, and we're going to actually play a third song from Brave, even though we're not supposed to, but it isn't actually from Brave.
Not on Brave.
This is from Made Again.
Made Again.
The live album.
Live in Paris at the Columbia Theater on a happy ending night. They did Brave in its entirety. This song was described by members of the band as their Led Zeppelin song. Now, I don't see it. It does have some hard moments to it, but if the band said it themselves, then it must be true, right?
We'll take their word for it.
Hard is love.
Hard is love. And this version from the live album Made Again, 95, 96, somewhere in there.
Well, I hear that you were looking out of
Thank you.
That was Hard as Love from the album Made Again, recorded live at the Olympia Theater in Paris, April 1994. The album actually came out a little later, but that's when the date it was made. Originally from the album Brave.
Right. That's where the song comes from. So why'd you pick that one, T?
Hard as Love?
Yeah.
I tell you, there's... It, between Great Escape and Living with the Big Lie, we needed something a little peppy.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. It is a little peppier than
it's,
those.
It's, yeah. it's the chief rock out on the album, but don't get it twisted. I'm not telling you you're listening to the final cut here where Not Now John is the only rock song on the album. There's yeah. There's Paper Lies. There's more to going on than just, Drew.
Yeah.
Gloomy.
Right. Like we said, it has a happy ending or a sad ending, as the case may be.
Oh, and the vinyl, yeah.
Yeah.
Potluck.
Now with the remastered CD, you can kind of take your choice if
exactly.
you want. You could
exactly
listen to what you want to listen
to. Rip your stuff onto a FLAC file and pick which ending you want.
That's right. But what a cool concept, the multiple choice ending kind of. Yeah, and here you see, you know, Hogarth, like you said, the first couple albums he was doing, which we covered before, you know, Holidays in Eden and that, what was the other one?
The Season's End.
Season's End, yeah. Yeah, he didn't do a lot of the lyrics on there. I was going to talk about, you know, how I liked the lyrics, and then I saw, wait a minute, he didn't really write a lot of these lyrics on those albums. But on this album, he did do a lot more of the lyrics, and it was his concept. And I think it's really him more or less firmly taking the reins and saying, hey, I am the singer now, Fish Who, you know.
I also think it's great how, well, yeah, that, but also it's like
getting out of the shadow,
cementing the
maybe?
Tradition, too. Yeah. Cementing the tradition as well as getting out of the shadow because, you know, Studio Album 3 and 4, with the original lineup, Misplaced Childhood, Clutching at Straws, wonderful concept albums. Album 3 and 4 with the new lineup, Studio Album 1, 3 and 4, Brave, Afraid of Sunlight, also excellent concept albums. The Afraid of Sunlight may be a little looser in the fact that there's no real story. It's more of a theme.
Theme, yeah.
Thematic. Sort of thematic concept album. But Hogarth could argue that stories have been done to death, you know, do a theme.
Yeah, well, you know, that's still a concept album. I mean,
a theme
is a concept, you know? It doesn't have to be a story. That's a narrative, you know?
It's a pretty deep theme, too. So it's like, it's not, you know, hey, let's write an album all about the color blue.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think that's going to wrap us up on this. I hope you enjoyed it. It was our first time when we really examined something and we used a little trickiness. A little trickiness to get in an extra cut from the original Brave album, even though it wasn't actually from the album. It was the live version from another album. So we fulfilled the U.S.
requirements.
Is the Phil Collins era of Genesis the best? I have no idea. But I do know you're listening to Progzilla.
Anyway, we decided to do something a little special here tonight, too. We'll try something different. Again, when I got onto Progzilla, you know, I was able to change the way I do some things. And some of these great bands that I had never been able to play before because of the way I was doing, you know, primarily the podcast. Well, now it's a radio show and the podcast is an archive. Anyway, I've always wanted to play some classic stuff. It's not like I want to live in the past, but there's a lot of great stuff back there. And if you're a younger listener, you know, I wouldn't mind trying to guide you to the really choice stuff. So we're going to start something that we're going to call like the classic corner, you know, where we're going to play an oldie, an old chestnut from a really great album by a really great band. And tonight we're doing our first feature in the classic corner. And I'm going to play The Fountain of Salmasis by Genesis from the album Nursery Crime in 1973.
Yeah,
you know what? You're right. 1971.
Thank you. We're gonna make it.
So once again, that was The Fountain of Salmasis by Genesis from 1971 album Nursery Crime.
Nursery Crime. It's awesome album from beginning to end. Yeah. Some critics had said it sags in the middle a little bit. And I could see that, but they're finding their way.
There's a lot of great material on this.
There is a lot of great
material. Cannot beat The Return of the Giant Hogweed. I almost played that one because I love Hogweed, that song.
Musical boxes off musical the hook. Box.
Yep.
For Absent Friends is good, solid Genesis stuff. Phil singing for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, Tony got the harpsichord on that, I think. Harold the Barrel.
Yeah.
Once again, we're showing their sense of humor, like on Willow Farm on Supper's Ready.
Right.
And I Know What I Like in Your Wardrobe. It's always been there.
Yeah.
Steve
Haggett really, I wonder if a lot of that had to do with Steve Haggett. He seems to have a little whimsical side.
On this track, I think, with Steve Haggett, I always got a kick out of how the guitar just takes over at one point and just blows everything away. And
he does a really cool version on one of his Genesis Revisited albums, too. He's got all these like really sinister,
but
like,
with the
where
sounds,
he does these
like,
really deep voices. Like,
oh.
Hermaphroditus, son of gods,
I didn't know you'd say that. They didn't go back and sand it down or anything, polish it up. It's just like this rough guitar coming in and taking over for the whole thing. Later on Dancing with the Moonlit Night, you get something similar, but it's very polished. It's very integrated into the song.
Yeah.
This is just like he's off on his own somewhere, and it's great. Rough edges.
But anyway, there. I thought I'd clue you in. There is actually a Fountain of Salmasis. It's located near the ancient mausoleum of Halicarnassus, which is now in Bodrum, Turkey. The waters of the fountain were said to have relaxing properties. Although excellent to drink, in classical times it was thought that the effect that the waters would have the effect of making men effeminate and soft. And this ties into the whole Greek myth of Salmasis, was a naiad who attempted to rape Hermaphroditus. And that's, that's the gist of the lyrics in this story. In the Genesis version, at the end of the song, the lyrics say that Salmasis and Hermaphroditus were joined as one.
Basically, the gods didn't know about Hermaphroditus' existence. Take the name apart, Hermes, Aphrodite. Huh? Those two had a baby? We didn't know that.
Yeah.
And when Salmasis cried out to the heavens, the gods looked down and said, oh, look at this.
Yeah, we're not pleased. Huh?
Nope.
But anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting. Peter Gabriel mining the old Greek mythology. He did take source material from a lot of different, classical sources, I guess,
Yeah, and I love the fade ins and outs. All through that track, just like...
kind of like cars whipping by your window or something.
Something like...
here's something new coming at you. But yeah, The Fountain of Salmasis, I love it. I always have. Maybe somewhere down the road we'll do Return of the Giant Hogweed. But I don't want to play too many from Genesis. We'll find somebody else to lay on you next time we do this little feature.
Find a different concept to put it out in there.
But anyway.
We do a Halloween show.
Well, we could do that. Yeah, I made a Christmas special last year. I'm going to air that. That's going to go on the network this year on Progzilla. I really enjoyed doing that one. I think we're going to wrap it up for this time. Thanks for joining us once again. Yada yada. Like the Facebook page, Prog-Watch. Follow the Prog Squatch on Twitter at Prog Squatch. I do try to put some things up there. I try to keep things entertaining, forward things that come across my computer desktop, as it were, from various sources.
Facebook.com/Terry DeLean music.
There you go. Look up TDL. And like him as well. So anyway, I'm going to say Prog on, brothers and sisters.
Take it easy, Prog Nation.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.